Well, good morning, Calvary Church family. It's so good to be with you all, and we welcome those who are also watching online. Well, join me as we jump back into our book of Galatians. Let's get into it. Galatians chapter 1. We are wrapping up Galatians chapter 1 today. So as you turn with me, we're going to be looking at this. And just as an overview of Galatians, Galatians 1 verses 1 through 10 was Paul defending his apostleship and presenting the gospel, alerting to the Galatian believers that they have swallowed a fake and false gospel. They're falling for something fake. They don't have a clue to what the real thing is. And Paul then goes in, verses 11 through 24, Paul is sharing his testimony that how he met Jesus and radically changed his life. And that's really the title of today's message, is When Paul Met Jesus. And we, over the last couple weeks, as we've been unpacking this section of chapter 1, we've been learning. We learned a couple weeks ago that Paul met Jesus, and as he met Jesus, he went into the desert for 3 years. It was a wilderness season. And we talked literally, when Paul literally went into a wilderness. And he was alone with God, and the Holy Spirit began to speak to him and continued to transform Paul from the inside out. We saw this. Look at the second half of verse 16. When this happened, what is this? It's when God revealed to Paul. It's when Paul, or Saul at this moment, saw Jesus. And it radically changed him, because on that dirty, dusty road to Damascus, Paul meets Jesus. He went into Arabia, as you can continue on. Verse 17, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to consult with those who were apostles before I was. Instead, I went away into Arabia, and later I returned to the city of Damascus. So he goes into that barren wasteland, a place where no one prefers to go. 3 years later, he comes back. So here he is in the desert part, and he's here for three additional years. And in those 3 years, Paul goes to see Peter, spending 15 days with him. He gets to meet James, Jesus' half-brother, and he's learning what it is. All in this season, he's learning what it is like to walk with Jesus, to be like Jesus. And this is where we catch up. Paul is coming back to Syria and Cilicia and to Syria, and Paul is recounting this. And we can see this in Scripture at different points. Acts chapter 15, verse 22, Paul and Barnabas was sent out by the early church leaders. So this is context for us to see this passage that we're reading about today. In Acts 15, verse 22, then to the apostles and the elders together with the whole church in Jerusalem chose delegates, and they sent them to Antioch of Syria with Paul and Barnabas to report on this decision. So this church was a council meeting in Acts chapter 15, and Paul is recounting part of this. So Acts 15 is the backdrop of what he's recounting as we're reading Galatians. He's recounting this moment because this is what sends them out to Syria. And Barnabas and Paul eventually, at Acts chapter 15, they eventually agree to separate. Up to this part, they've been doing ministry together, helping support and really lead the early church and help advance the church into areas where people weren't willing to go. But they did this separation without creating division. They were both guided on a mission, which we later see in verse 41 of that same chapter of Acts, Acts 15, verse 41. Paul chose Silas. As he left, the believers entrusted him to the Lord's gracious care. Then he traveled throughout Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches there. See, Paul stayed here for 7 years. And so this gives you the context of this backdrop, is that he spent so much time investing, in some ways planting the church in the Galatian area. And that's the part of why he comes out in this chapter one, right from the beginning, establishing his apostleship and making sure that they understand the gospel, and that they are falling for a fake gospel. Anytime you add on to a gospel that is apart from God's grace by his sovereign love, and you add anything else to it, you're setting up a fake gospel. Which brings us to our passage today. Look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 21. After that, I went north into the provinces of Syria and Cilicia, and still the churches in Christ that are in Judea didn't know me personally. See, Paul claims during this time that he's unknown to these churches in Judea. In the original Greek, the idea comes off a little shade stronger, stating that Paul's face continued or remained unknown. So Paul is ministering, sharing the gospel. People had heard of his story, but they've never met him. So it's kind of like one of those fish stories that some of the pastors might tell when they go back from our retreat. You know, the big fish. And it's, but I mean, Paul's recount, so people had heard some of the stories of this amazing transformation of Paul and how he went from persecuting the church to becoming a disciple and a follower and a leader in the church. But look at verse 23. All they knew was that people were saying, the one who used to persecute us is now preaching the very faith he tried to destroy. And they praised God because of me. So even though his face wasn't the notoriety, the story was still there. And people were amazed at just that in itself. And Paul didn't care about having a platform where people knew him by face, but he certainly was excited that people could look at his life and appreciate the change in his life that would cause them to celebrate what God has done, because it's such a dramatic, dramatic change. About the only way I could describe this, it's kind of like Paul is being willing to be so on fire for God, not caring about having the personal notoriety that people know him. He loves the fact that they know the story, but that it didn't have to be attributed to him. It's kind of like being a superhero is a good way to illustrate it. It'd be like a comic book superhero. So I'll go to one of my favorites, Spider-Man. So I like Spider-Man, grew up with Spider-Man. So it's like Peter Parker is a teenager. Come on, teenagers. He's a teenager that gets bit by a radioactive spider, and that's how he gets his spider senses. So if you're not familiar with it, it's a high school student that on a field trip gets bit by a radioactive spider, and he develops his spider skills. And he's learning all these new powers, and sightings begin to occur of this guy that can fling webs and actually capture criminals. And the legend of Spider-Man grows. And so it's kind of the same. It's kind of the same thing for Paul. As Paul continues to have this amazing encounter that dramatically changes his life, he just starts showing and sharing who Jesus is. So here's the terrorist guy that people know. That, in fact, the church, and when I say the church, the nation of Israel, anybody feared Paul, the church, the early church believers, because anybody that knew Paul, even Jews, would be like you respected with a terror level, because Paul was an incredible rabbi, so he knew the law, he could teach it, he was one of the best communicators. But this guy was mission was to grind out anything that had to do with Jesus and anything that had to do with the early church. So, and that was his mission. His mission was to try to root this out so that the Jews could continue on to live as they've always lived and serve God that way. And so here's the terrorist guy that would strike fear. And God does such a tremendous work. And as he goes around, there's a power, people are changed as he preaches. The Holy Spirit's work was evident. And Paul even wasn't a household name yet, at least by face recognition. But here's a great promise, that, and it comes down to leadership. And so this isn't a bad thing, but I want you to make sure that you capture this. Because all God's gifts work in obscurity, just like they do in high visibility. Let me repeat this again. God's gifts work in obscurity just like they do in high visibility. And so God will do a work in the notoriety isn't the issue. It's really how much are we dependent on God and his working in our life. See, Paul didn't care that he had a title. Because soon enough he would have a platform. He was just obedient to the call and the promptings that God would put in his life. And he was making a kingdom impact. He was changing people's lives. He honored the platform he was given. And it's a great truth for all of us that God will give us a platform to make a difference in the lives of others. And this is what makes this such a critical idea that we all need to understand, that God will give you a platform right where you're at. Visibility isn't the issue. And I just encourage you, don't wait to lead until you have a title of a leader. You don't have to wait for ministry to have a title. You'll never be a leader if you wait for a title. And don't dishonor the season of obscurity. God's not going to trust you in the season of high visibility unless you allow him to do the work with where you're at right now. And it's one of those moments that Paul brings a great refresher course for us, because you won't be called to the large thing until you're faithful with the small thing that he's given you. So let me close out chapter 1 with four closing thoughts as we wrap up Galatians chapter 1. One, Paul was a genuine apostle. Paul was genuine. He had the authority from God to teach the gospel. Jesus appeared to him. Jesus taught him. Jesus sent him. And he didn't get his message from any other way. It was through his devotion and his walk of a changed life with Jesus. Secondly, Paul shows us that no one is so bad that Jesus can't forgive them. Such a wonderful story. Because here's Paul, the persecutor. He's the guy that he not only disagreed with the teachings of Jesus before he came to Christ, he was an eradicator of it. So here's the amazing part. A person can be indifferent. A person can be angry. And yes, you can even be a persecutor, among other things. But here's the amazing part. No one is ever beyond the reach of God's grace. You're never too far. If God can save Paul, he can save anyone. And I have no doubt there's someone here today, you might be watching online, and you're thinking, there is no way that God would give a rip about me, because he has no idea to some of the things I've thought, let alone said. And you need to know that there is a God that in the same way he demonstrated it to Paul, he can demonstrate it to you, that no one is so bad that Jesus cannot forgive. All it takes, and this is the same goes not just for you, it goes for your son, your daughter, a spouse, a parent, a friend that you think there is no way they can make their way back. There is no one that is so bad that can outrun the grace of God. The real question is, what will you do in your response to that grace? A third thing that I want you to capture this morning is Paul shows us that we have a story to share. You have a story to share. Each one of us in here has a story that can be changing the lives of other people. From verses 11 through 24, in a span of 13 verses, Paul gives us an amazing recount of his life. And he does it, and it should help us that we could be able to follow and help us know how to share our story. So let me give you some tips to sharing your story. One, keep it brief. Paul covers 14 years in about 12 verses. And Paul could have told his story in 2 minutes or less without any significant detail being lost. So keep your story brief. Secondly, follow a logical progression. What was your life like before Christ? How did you come to Christ? And what was your life like since you came to Christ? See, I know many of you are convinced in here that there is no way that people really want to know about your story. or there's no way that people are actually interested in Jesus whatsoever. And so I'm going to take a few moments, and I'm going to flash back to my Youth Live missionary days, because I would do this often when I was, as a missionary, training students to share the gospel. Because I would remind them that you have a unique story, and your students, your class, your school is waiting for it to be heard. And you have a story that'll help it be relatable, to help the gospel transcend to their life. And so one of the fun parts I would do is give me, and so this is collaboration. You are to talk. Otherwise, this will be a very short message. No, I'm just kidding. I want you to think on this, because this does take a moment to think. Give me one word. One word to describe your life before you met Jesus. So before Jesus, what was your life like? Chaotic. What else? Reckless. Hopeless. Lost.
Proud.
What was it?
Proud.
Good. Stubborn.
Lonely.
Self-centered. Love it. Any others?
Miserable.
Now think of all these words. I'm loving it. Because there's not one wrong word. Angry. Any others?
Arrogant.
Guess what? We just described our community. See, right now, you just related to every single person. Every single person in our community at some point is feeling what you just expressed. In fact, many of them last night are waking up with a headache from trying to drink or whatever else. Hey, we're close to Menominee. Well, you know. Inhale. Because why? Why? Because they're feeling the same exact thing that you just expressed. And they're trying to figure out, how do I get that feeling out of my head, out of my heart, out of my spirit? They're trying to walk in it, and they're trying to, in some ways, escape it. And if they can't deaden the pain, if they can't deaden the thoughts, they surely can at least try to avoid them. And so you just proved the point that people are looking for what you have, because they've all experienced it. And so many times when we go to tell our story, we're telling information without relating. And one of the great parts is when you're in a conversation with a person and they're, and you can connect on the emotional words. Oh, I felt that. Or you can understand, wow, how powerful that could impact a life. The loneliness, what that would drive you to, the isolation, the angry, the proud. I mean, all of what you said, people are going, yeah, that's me. And the good news is their story isn't stuck to a point. Other people's story, God wants to rewrite it. He wants to redeem it. And so when you begin to share your story, see, when you begin to start to, you can connect on so many ways in that. Then share the details. Well, this is where I was at. And then one day, and you can go to the day. See, I happen to know the day. May 13th, 1981, it was a Wednesday night. I gave my heart to Jesus, and I'm different. Because I realized going to church wasn't a religious thing. I needed to have a relationship. Going to church was not, or being a nice person wasn't going to get me to heaven. It was a personal relationship, a faith and a trust in Jesus Christ alone and nothing else. And I can go back to that moment, and since that day, I'm different. In fact, I'm still walking in that decision. It's not a one-time moment. It's a continuation. I'm still walking in the decision from May 13th, 1981. And he's still working to transform me. He's still working to change me, as he is you. Give the details. Where were you at? Give some of the parts, because here's one of the fun parts. I remember talking with kids even at youth camps when we had traveled for North Central. I can still remember one particular student. We had him in our cabin. I was in a singing group. We were traveling representing North Central University. And we were at a camp in North Dakota, and I can remember. So a couple of us guys in our group, we would always go to beyond our cabin kids. We would go to those in the back row. There's hope for you, Nadine. So all the back row people, there's hope for you. We're praying for you. We pray for you every Tuesday, Gene. And so my back row group, here's the fun part, is we would go to them because often points, unlike them, they're checked out. They came to camp because one, mom and dad said, you're going to camp. So they're there against their will, and they're going, great, I'm stuck at this camp. And part of it is this: the day is okay until you get to the service at night. But our heart was for them. Then as we get to talk with the students and kind of understand some of what they're walking. And I can still remember a conversation with one of the students, and we're talking with them, and we're like, look, a decision to follow Jesus doesn't have to be made tonight. As much as we say, this is a moment, you walk from this moment, you're not guaranteed tomorrow. But we could tell them, you know what, here's the amazing part. You could walk away, and there's going to be a moment, and it could even be in the bathroom of your home. I remember us going with a goofball thing. You could be in your bathroom, and you're sitting on that throne, and all of a sudden, it just becomes real, and you could pray and invite them, even in your bathroom. And what was so fun, 2 weeks later, we get a mail as we're traveling, get a letter from him, and he goes, hey, I wanted to let you guys know that when I got home from camp, it was Saturday night, where normally I would have gone out with my group and we would have partied, and there was stuff working in my heart from that week, and it was conviction. And he goes, sure enough, I was in the bathroom. And I just said, God, if you're real, come into my life, I give my life to you. And he prayed, we walked him through what it would be to pray and give your life to the Lord. And God dramatically changed his life. And he goes, I can't tell you a difference that I can just feel. There is a weight lifted. I'm different. And I just wanted to say thank you for praying and thank you for talking to me. Needless to say, we were fired up about the rest of the weeks of our camp in that summer, all right? Because who else on that back row, of the next camp can we reach out to? So one day, Joel, one day. I'm just teasing. So when you share your story, what was your life before Jesus? How did you come to know Jesus? And then here's a fun word, okay? I want you to give me one word to describe your life now that Jesus is in it. What is it?
Wonderful.
Wonderful.
Joyful.
Joyful. Blessed. What else?
Free.
Free.
Fulfilled.
Fulfilled.
Secure,
purpose, oh, wonderful,
exciting,
there's no wrong word, by the way, there is no wrong word, peace, beautiful, fearful, oh, respect for God, is that where you're going? Yeah, there's just a holiness, yeah. See, here's the wonderful part, there's no wrong word. One of the best words I've ever heard, best words, actually came when we were in Sioux City, Iowa, doing it in Stacy's hometown. A student told me this one, and it's still one of the best responses. Life is like bacon, now that Jesus is in his life. And it's like, because think about it. There's never a wrong time for bacon, right? That's the way life is. It's like bacon, man. When I give my life to Jesus, it's like bacon. It's good. And so now think of all those words. You just described why everyone in our community is looking for. Everyone's looking for that. And see, this is the wonderful part about the book of Galatians, is Paul's recounting how he met Jesus, because it wasn't no ordinary thing. And God is everything, even the platform he had and has been given, it's all going back to the bacon working love of God in his life. It's so powerful. And see, this is where I will tell you, each one of you has a powerful story. Your testimony is your greatest weapon. It is your greatest source of strength. And yet there's some parts we will say, we will try to diminish our story by saying, well, mine isn't as dramatic as other people. See, it doesn't matter the depth of what you say, when you start dealing with those emotional words, guess what? That evens the playing field. It doesn't matter the actions of depth. Like, you could be a persecutor like a Paul. Or guess what? You could have been a church kid. All you've known is growing up in church. And yet, when you give your heart to Jesus, when you give your heart to Jesus, the transformation is the same. It's dramatic. The closeness, the presence, being able to call our God Daddy. An intimate relationship, not some ritual thing. This is why we gather on a Sunday morning. Isn't because we come to do a ritual service. It is to come to sharpen and refresh, to praise God, to encounter his presence, his power that we can only do when we're together. And then that work that God does isn't just to be contained to this moment here, but it's to stir and to work and to transform, that when we go from this place, we're on mission to be able to tell others the amazing part of who God is. See, we're on mission just like Paul. We're on mission to know our Heavenly Father. And this is the wonderful part. And the third thing about sharing your story is glorifying God, not self. Oftentimes, it's so easy to get into the details of the dark details of certain parts of your life. And guess what? Glorify God. You can share them, but make sure it gets back to glorifying God, because this is what he's done in my life that could not have happened any other way. When we start to share our story, one of the great things, and I tell, encourage students, especially as you go on a missions trip here in a couple weeks, come back from youth camp, when you share a testimony of what God's doing in your life, it is shouting victory. It's like praises. Continual praising and worship of what God's doing on the inside, and it'll solidify the work that he's doing in your life when you give it voice and you testify to it. So when the enemy tries to discourage you, which he will try to do, oh, that thing that happened at church was just emotion. Oh, that's just wishful thinking. You're still the same person. The enemy would love to try to come in and discourage you, to tell you, no, your destiny isn't the change transformation words of bacon, of peace, of hope. Oh no, your life was destined to be disaster, dysfunction. That's what the enemy would love to tell you, that you're stuck here. And yet when we give voice to the testimony of the working of God in our life, it solidifies, it becomes a triumphant weapon that we put on mission to give to him. So glorify God. It's him who gives the transformation. It's not us. Worship team, if you come, my fourth thought that I have for us this morning as we recap Galatians chapter 1, when a person meets Jesus, their life is dramatically changed. See, it's going from darkness to light. It's becoming a new person all over again. It's, you are a different person. You are one way one day, and now you're going another. That's what it means to be a Christian. You're new. The whole story of Paul just paints a beautiful backdrop for our understanding. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul writing this. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. The new life has changed, has begun. See, Paul could say, I've experienced this. I've experienced going from an old life to a new one. I've seen it happen. It happened in me. I was heading down the road hating Christians. I was going down the road blaspheming Jesus. God changed his life. The next thing I knew, I was boldly preaching the gospel, and my life took a whole new direction. Paul could say, I met Jesus and he changed me. I saw his power working in me in greater ways than I could ever imagine. See, that is the dynamic, revolutionary power of the gospel. And God wants to work that in every person in this room, every person watching online, is God wants to demonstrate his power in your life. Because man, when I think of May 13th, 44 years ago on a Wednesday night, I realized when I stood before God, I was on a path separated from him. I was living an okay life when God had a whole different pattern and perspective he wanted to give me. Church wasn't an obligation. It wasn't a social club. It wasn't just religion. It was power. It was presence. It was him working in my life. It's a change of directions. He changed me, and guess what? He's still changing me. I'm so grateful to have a God that his mercies, his grace are new every morning if I'm looking for it. I'm saying, God, make me hungry. May I walk in that grace. And may we stand on it today. So today, I just encourage you, open your heart and your life to our Savior and watch what he will do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just so thankful. We thank you for your word. And God, I thank you that you are powerful enough to change us, change our lives, taking us from darkness to light. God, I thank you today. I thank you for the power that you can demonstrate in our lives, that it's for every person here. It's not just a select few, but every single person who will turn their heart to you, you will demonstrate yourself in such dramatic, powerful ways. And God, I pray, continue to challenge us. God, may we be bold and courageous in trusting you. God, I pray today that I pray for people that will be honest before you. God, I pray that we will be as passionately committed to you as Paul was. Stir that in us, oh God. God, I pray for those who are facing situation. And God, I pray that they're facing it. Maybe they're an unbeliever, not trusting in you today. The difficulty that they're finding. God, I pray that you will, as you just continue to reveal to them their need for you, God, I pray that you will just transform them as they turn their hearts to you this morning. So Lord, as we pray, and Lord, I pray for the people in this room that are watching online or in here today. God, I pray for those who have never met you before, or God, maybe it's been a while since they've walked with you. God, I pray your life-changing power will be over those who are listening to you and will turn to you today. God, may we be wonderfully and radically transformed just like Paul. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm just going to ask this to you today. If you're here today and you're not walking in a relationship with Jesus, he wants to transform you. He wants to change you. He wants to show a dimension of himself to you like you've never experienced before. In fact, I would say if you have not been transformed, are you certain that you are following Jesus today? Is he your Lord? Is he your leader? Is the only thing that you're trusting in for your salvation? If you're here today and maybe you need to rededicate yourself to him, or perhaps for the very first time, you invite him in to say, be my leader. Be my Savior. Change me. If that's you, would you just look my way? I want to pray with you today, whether it's a rededication or the first time. Thank you. Thank you. Wonderful. Are there others? I want everyone to pray this prayer because really, to begin that relationship of trusting him, it comes off, it's a prayer. It's a heart direction conversation with him. And it starts out very similar to this. Dear Jesus, thank you for not giving up on me, for repeating your love and your commitment to me. Forgive me of my sin, doing life my own way, my power, my strength. God, I give my life and my heart to you. Be my leader. Lead my life. Be my Savior to save my life. Come in my life. Transform me. Change me from light to dark, from darkness to light. God, from old to new, change me. In Jesus' name, amen. We got that prayer right. One of the great things, if you prayed that prayer today, one of the great things, God will take your life dramatically changed. Just like he did to Paul, just like he has done for hundreds of others, it is the reputation of this church. The story of Calvary Church is a church that's dependent on his grace. That's why the theme of this series is standing on grace, because that is our legacy, is standing on the grace of the gospel of what Jesus can do in our life. See, the Big Serve next month is nothing. It's hollow if we do it because of what we want to do. But when we do it through the power of, we do it, we serve because our God served us. He came to change our life. That's the legacy. That's the promise he gives to each and every one of us that we can walk in. And if you prayed that prayer, I encourage you, fill out the communication card on the bulletin, or you can take the QR code in the seat back in front of you, because we want to walk with you. Because there were several of you that prayed that prayer, and we want to help you walk this journey together, because there's a new destiny, a new direction God wants to give and is giving to you as you walk in that. Would you stand with me this morning? And before we go, I just want to encourage you. There's one of these parts we can look back, just like Paul's life. We can all go back to the moment when Jesus became real to our life. Some of us, it was just a few moments ago. Others, it was 44 years ago. It might have been even longer than that. What's so amazing is we can have that gratefulness that God showed his grace to us. And you can never walk past it. You walk in it. This is part we walk through that to grow. And what a great fitting song that the worship team will lead us in is Refiner's Fire. God, continue to refine us. Continue as we walk in faith in you. And so, Lord, that is our prayer. That, Lord, as we sing this song, God, we pray, refine us, grow in us. Father, we pray, may we be measured in grace as you continue to transform us. Help us, oh God, to go from a lump of clay to the design of a man and a woman of God that you've designed each of us to be. God, we pray, continue to let your image be marked on our life. May when people look to our life, may they see you and your grace, the fruits of your spirit grow in and through us. God, we thank you. Refine us and make us more like you. In Jesus' name, amen.